Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Actually Comics. My name is Tristan.
And my name is Bob.
Interesting. So there it is. And that's all you need to know to get started. We're going to be talking about the comics that have come out this week. And this week is the 23rd of September. I know that this has gotten kind of complicated because, you know, DC is technically out today and we're doing this for tomorrow. But let's just forget about that. I'm on a Wednesday schedule from here on out. So just deal with it.
Nice.
So there's some interesting stuff this week. It's definitely a slower week, but I was impressed by a few things, and there's a few really interesting standouts, especially down at the bottom of the list. So I'm gonna get started with what I thought was a really weird thing to happen. So Behemoth Comics has come out with an adaptation of Hotline Miami. For some reason, the little like top-down shooter game, which is a super blast and I really love the game, I did not think that there was enough plot to drag out into a comic book, and I would be wrong because this comic was really cool. Not really my thing. It's of the genre of the bad guys being bad kind of genre, where it's like, you know, the Tarantino, like, you're rooting for a guy who just shot somebody in the face for money and he might have had a family, but you don't care because he's a bad guy and that's what they do. And that kind of shit doesn't really, I maybe I'm getting old, which is probably true. But it's like, you know, the guy does a bunch of coke and then he hits a girl and then it's really mean and terrible. And it's like, not my thing. But aside from that, the comic itself is well written, well constructed. There are some very cool ideas in it and there are some really cool panel executions and like really lots of interesting stuff. So I would say if that is your jam, if you're into that kind of Tarantino-y kind of stuff, this is a shockingly well done book, especially for what it is and for the fact that I had no idea who Behemoth Comics were last week. And I do the ordering. So I was like, ooh, a Hotline Miami comic. I like that game. Fuck it. I'll order some copies. That's how my brain works. Not do I think I can sell them. Do I think the game was fun that it's based on? Whatever.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about it. And I thought it looked like a fun comic. Like a good crimey kind of.
Yeah.
Like just like you said.
Good fucking covers too.
Yeah, the cover was great.
Like that main white cover with the blur in the bunny mask. I was like, oh, that's just great. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
And Behemoth is the company that released that version of A Girl Walks Home in the Dark last week that I didn't get. And I was like, damn it. I need to start paying attention to Behemoth Comics, apparently, because they keep doing cool things. So that's my opening rant. I need to pay attention to this stuff when I'm ordering. The Invader Zim book is continuing with a quarterly comic now, and we're on the second issue of said quarterly comic. And this is probably the strongest it's been. I don't know if they did this on purpose, if it was because they weren't selling enough, or if they wanted to up the quality. But they have definitely made these feel like episodes. Like the quarterly comics are so good, they feel like Vasquez is writing them. So like that first one was awesome, and this one is great too. Really, really like captures Vasquez's sense of humor. So
nice.
If you are at all into that kind of thing, it's there and it's awesome. Mega Man Fully Charged number 2 is out. Looney Tunes 256 is out. Oh, you're right. The Autumnal from Vault Comics. You're right. I probably should have carried that book. Wow, looks cool. Whoops.
I just saw it on a list. I've
been too damn cautious. I'm really just like, any mistake could be my last right now because of how terrible things are. But it's like I gotta get past that. We're doing, you know, I'm gonna knock on wood here, but we're doing much better than we were 2 months ago. Unfortunately, 2 months ago was when I was doing my orders. So that doesn't help me right now. All right. Canto number 2 continues to be just phenomenal. this book is so well executed, and it's also filling a niche that nobody has right now. The closest we've got is Rat Queens to this for a like it feels, Kanto feels, especially because of the fact that you have these little squat, super deformed characters, like you're reading Final Fantasy, like an old Final Fantasy game, like Final Fantasy V or something. You're like little squat people go into a village, some shit goes down, they fight, you know, like it's awesome. It's really fun. And it really is like that kind of like dungeon crawly feeling comic book is something that people ask me for constantly. And I'm like, Dungeons and Dragons has a comic, but it's not really great. And that every time it's something like that. And you know,
now you got this Kanto,
and now there is Kanto, and it is wonderful. Tales of Suspense, number 39, facsimile edition. Got a first appearance of Iron Man reprint, which is cool. Dead Body Road, Bad Blood, number 4. And here's one. An Unkindness of Ravens, number 1. I have ordered. Yes. I ordered, unfortunately, very low on this one. I'm going to be getting more copies in next week. This is a cool book. If you were looking for something, if you're looking for something in the realm of, I don't know, it feels like Riverdale. It feels like a supernatural Riverdale. So like if they really got Sabrina and crammed it together with Riverdale, you got kind of this story.
I was just going to say it kind of felt like Blackwood a little bit to me.
Yeah, it does. It feels like Blackwood too.
Yeah.
Supernatural high school drama. Fun.
Yeah.
Vengeance of Vampirella, number 10. Nobody cares. Gnomon Omen, number 9. Ditto. Spike and Angel, number 14. And here's a weird one. I don't know if you got this. I feel like this is something that you would have actually made an exception for. Savage Dragon 252. This is the comics issue. You didn't do it.
I was so close. I didn't.
I'm surprised.
I already kind of regret it because it looked really, really fun.
It is pretty good.
I actually just forgot. I think I was walking around with one and we were talking about other stuff, and I think I just didn't put it with the other comics.
It's interesting because it is very... it's very classic, like because it's him, because it's an older, it's even older than you expect. It's not like you're going to be getting like even Garfield era. You're getting like Gasoline Alley parodies.
Definitely. So it's like Dick Tracy and shit.
Yeah, but they're good. Some of them are actually quite funny, and they're weirdly like, I read some of it and I was like, oh, thanks for filling in that continuity for Savage Dragon, because I have no idea what's happening in this book. And so these little strips were like, oh, by the way, X happened, and that's why Malcolm is now aged up, and this happened, and soul switching, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't know what's going on anymore, but I know a little tiny bit more of what's happening. Cool. I would say if you were going to buy a Savage Dragon comic, buy this one. It's entirely just... Sunday morning funnies versions of Savage Dragon stuff.
It's just great. Like send-ups of different and some of them are even ones you heard of, like Kathy.
Yes, there's some that are new enough that they happened in the 70s. All right, Sonic the Hedgehog number 32.
Wind Hedgehogging with, it up.
Wind with a Y, number 4. Great comic. I'm not following it anymore, but it was very cool. Batman the Max Arkham Dreams, the Lost Year Compendium.
I didn't even pick it up. I was just like, the cover was so confusing and I didn't read the miniseries, so I don't, is it like a who's who or something? Or
no, it's literally those issues.
It's like a collection.
Yeah, so this collects the first 3 issues of the series in case you either missed it or lost your issues and wanted to get caught up, because it's been over a year since the last ones came out. And so this is coming out with these. It's one of those, like, you know, bargain priced, you get, fill you in on what's going on. And then we've got 4 and 5 coming out in sequence in the next 2 months. So we will actually get the conclusion of the Max Batman crossover soon.
Nice. Cool.
Blade Runner 2019 number 10 is out.
And, still running those blades.
Running them. Skulldigger and Skeleton Boy number 4.
I can't remember. It's been so long what even happened in the previous issues of this, but this is the first of the Daniel Warren Johnson variants that I picked up because I was already reading this book, and it is awesome. Tom C. Zonjic and Jeff Lemire writing it. It's a Black Hammer crossover miniseries, kind of in the vein of like your Frank Miller 80s kind of material. Really great series.
Yeah,
awesome art, love it.
Yep, it's weird. I was confusing this series with the Spider-Man book that came out last year that had a kind of a similar thing. It was like an uncle and his kid, and they were both spider people.
Oh yeah, that was really good. Actually.
It was really good.
I don't think it was the same artist, but they had a really similar style. I could see why you actually
really
that.
Like it's very similar. It's cool.
Yeah, that one was like, it was like Uncle Ben and Peter and like a young Peter Parker, and they were that was really good. I have that somewhere.
Yep, that was good. Cool. I should revisit that.
That was a fun one. Yeah.
Fantastic Four Antithesis number 2. This is the Neil Adams and written by Mark Waid series. The first one was surprisingly good. I did not read this issue, but I was honest to God shocked, because I don't know if you've read the other Neil Adams entrees into modern comics, but I've been known
to dabble.
They've been a little on the wackadoo side.
Just a smidge. If you want your Aquaman mulleted, they are the series.
I mean, I do.
You. Yeah, I mean, if you want Brock Samson and Aquaman combined into one character.
There's so many moments of that series that I was like, is he joking?
Maybe he's really old.
Maybe it's funny.
Man.
Maybe it's funny. I don't know. But this
Neil Adams is old.
He is very old. I mean, listen, thank God he would never listen to a comics podcast. But he is definitely
I'm not shitting on him. He's old.
But I will say, this art is spectacular for his recent output. It is much better than he has done for a long time. It's still got a lot of those, like, it's still got a lot of the identifiers of his later work, which is like the digital brush strokes that you're like, those are super obvious. And there's a few little weirdnesses here and there, but overall I dug it. I'm really surprised.
If you ever what was the name of that one? His 80s, he did one, Cyber Rad.
Yeah.
Man, if you ever want like the craziest, most off the wall, like go to the back issue bins of some store, like Coast City, I'm sure. I think that's where I got the one that I got. It's called Cyber Rad.
I need to find those. I know I have more copies in the basement, and I just don't know where they got shelved out of boxes we have.
He also had that skateboarding superhero character too.
He did.
I can't remember. I think it was called like Skate Man or something.
That wasn't Cyber Rad. He had another skate.
No.
Oh yeah. Shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was called Skate Man or something like that. That one I might be older than Cyber Rad. Honestly, like with the kind of modern like a nostalgia for like 80s stuff like Mandy and stuff like that, Nicolas Cage movie, like you could do Cyber Rad in that style and it would be fucking awesome. Honestly, ahead of its time.
Synth wave kind of stuff. Put a bunch of like Carpenter Brute behind it or something. Yeah, I'd be all about that.
Absolutely.
Cool. Last God number 9 is out. Books of Magic, plural. Number 23 is out.
Just down to the one book now.
They've gone through him. He's read them all. He's done. He's just got one left.
On that last book, and man, it is a page turner.
Yes. He's destroyed half the Horcruxes at this point, and he's down to just a few left. Maestro, number 2. Damn it, this book is great. It sucks because I'm doing the newsletter, and literally 3 of the main entries in the newsletter are Hulk books, and I don't know why that should happen in any sane society, why that would happen, but god damn it, it's true. This is one of three amazing Hulk books this week, and holy crap, man. Maestro, so good.
Peter David, still killing it.
Yeah, so it makes me so happy that Peter David is killing it too. Like, you know, he had a stroke and everybody was like, oh shit, is he ever going to write like him again? Is his brain broken? Is this going to be like one of those things where you're like, oh, you know, remember when he used to be good? And it's like, this is some of his best writing. This is fucking great. I am super nice into this. So yeah, that I literally couldn't have asked for more from this Maestro series.
Nice.
Spider-Man Noir number 4 is out. And one of the other Hulk based things that is out this week that I loved, Immortal She-Hulk number 1.
Also loved.
Yeah.
Also the second Daniel Warren Johnson variant cover of the week for me.
Yeah.
Man, that is good.
He's all over the place. But man, it is super important to the ongoing Immortal Hulk story. So if you are reading it, you really do want to read this. This is a big deal. This continues the leader's story in the place beneath with the green door and explains a little more of what's going on there. And it's pretty fucking great. There is a very complex concept that they're unraveling over the course of this series. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Great Wolverine cameo as well in this. Be exactly what I would want from a Wolverine cameo at this point.
Yeah.
Well, there's one of two things I would want in Wolverine. It has the Wolverine, the talking Wolverine, as opposed to the slicing Wolverine. But very good, very good comic.
Something else. I think it was Venom that had a good Wolverine cameo as well. It was just basically a from out of nowhere.
There was actually Venom had.
Yes.
Yeah. Venom had some really good cameos this week. I really enjoyed the Venom.
Yeah, really, that was really fun. What else was really fun was Juggernaut number 1.
Loved it.
Yeah, if you are a fan of the 90s creators and you want to see how they do with modern takes, look no further. You've got Fabian Nicieza, whose name I will never get right, and Ron Garney doing just fucking excellent work, and holy crap, I'm so happy about it. This was like, and this is also the Juggernaut that I like too.
Yeah.
I like it when people write Juggernaut like this. It's kind of coming out of, I don't know if that was out of Morrison's X-Men, but it was around that era when he sort of turned nice, and he was basically on the path to redemption. I like him as a good guy. I enjoy good guy Juggernaut. And ever since that story with Sammy, that was like when he was like, I was abused as a kid too. I'm going to go take care of your parents. I always wish I could stand up to my parents. And Juggernaut just like destroys their house and then is like about to murder his father. And Sammy's like, you're a fucking monster. I hate you. Get away from my family and stop destroying my house. And he's like, oh shit. Yeah I do kind of suck. I got to start thinking about what I'm doing. And yeah, I don't know. I have liked that arc for Juggernaut because he is such a ridiculous character.
I also, as someone who has kind of lost, and I know I'm in the minority here, but I've kind of lost touch with the X books of late. This is nice to have like an X related book that I can follow without having to understand like a map of like without having to have a map to understand. It's the Juggernaut showing up and doing Juggernaut shit.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, that is really where it is at. And I understand how people are losing their way with the new X-Men series. As excited as everyone has been for it, and as much as people are stoked and following it, it is fucking complicated, and there's a lot going on, and it's demanding an awful lot out of people financially.
Yeah, that's like, really
there's
where
an, there's an awful lot of, I mean, especially because this big upcoming crossover, we'll get to that eventually. I mean, it's a 22 part crossover.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that yeah, means I mean, you have to buy every book every time it comes out. And I know that that's not insane, but it's also, but it is like, that's how it's felt from the beginning. Because I feel like the regular X-Men series references what's happening with Kitty and the Marauders. They're referencing, I mean, there was a big deal that happened in Excalibur and it had to be mentioned. And I don't know, man, I think it's a bit much.
Yeah, and it's not, it's like, in no way is it like a judgment on like the overall quality of the series or anything.
No,
it's just like,
I mean,
what it comes down to me is like, I love buying as many comics as I can.
Right.
And I can't buy all the X-Men comics. Like, I just
and this,
can't.
It is weird though, because this is basically for a reader who is like me. And so I don't know particularly if it's failing everyone else to pander to me as a reader, or if it's just that readers who are on like the type of person who would kind of come in and come out, those people wouldn't really be on board with X-Men anyway. I don't know. All I can say is this is where I wanted X-Men. I wanted all this shit. And so if I was subscribing now, I'd probably be pissed because I would be spending, you know, all my money on X-Books, but it's also all I want to read. I'm like all about, I've always been all about the X-Men, and even more so now. It's
yeah, no, and definitely it's the X-Men are awesome.
Now that it pays off right now, where it's just like you reread some of these books and you're like, oh, I missed this. It's like, it's a very Grant Morrison type experience where you're like, oh, I didn't understand all of this, but I loved it. And then you go back and you're like, oh, I didn't understand it because of this little tiny thing. And then you start putting the pieces together, and it's a rewarding reread, which I think is uncommon in superhero comics today. And
yeah.
Welcome to my TED Talk. so there's that. What else is good here?
Did we just talk about
X of Swords. That is the big crossover this week. It is a $7 purchase for the first issue, but it is a good 60 plus pages. It is enormous.
Yeah.
And it is Hickman enormous, where it is every page is dense as fuck with like not only dialogue and art and concepts, but just like the complexity. I started reading it and I went, oh no, this is going to be, I'm going to be here for at least a half hour. I can't spare the time to read this right now. So I didn't even get into it, but the first three pages I was hooked. I was like, okay, this is where I want this to go. So
yeah,
that's my,
yeah, it was interesting. Having flipped through it, like the quality of the story and art was really good, and I'm curious how it squares with the whole Empire thing, because it seemed like that there was like kind of an interesting juxtaposition between the end of Empire, which is some of the stuff that I actually did read, and then where the X of Swords is coming from.
Yes, I agree. I am also curious about that, and we'll talk about that next week once it's no longer a spoiler.
Right.
Yeah. So Star Wars Bounty Hunters #5 continues to be the only Star Wars book that I'm ever excited to read. Really. It's like, oh, just all the fucking bounty hunters. Why is this not all of the comics? Why is this not just like, it's a bunch of the cool bounty hunters, and then they run into Luke Skywalker and they go, hey, like Luke Skywalker, how's it going? I'm fine, whatever the force, etc. And then they go shoot some people. So much cooler. The Mandalorian has taught us well that this is the future of Star Wars. We care about the bounty hunters, and the force is fun, but keep the force and stuff away and just shoot people in space. It's way more fun.
Yeah, the force is better unexplained.
Rice and also Baby Yoda, Put one of those in there.
Yes.
We need those too. Doctor Doom number seven is finally out. Wow. That has been a long time coming. I remember it being a good book. I did not read this because I do not remember what happened in issue six at all. I remember he got framed for something. There's something blew up and they were like, oh, we're going to, you know, it's clearly Dr. Doom. And he was like, I didn't do that. And so he allows himself to be taken into custody. That's all I remember. I think
what
that something's going on.
To remember?
I think it's that dude from before trying to usurp the throne. I can't remember. Fuck. It's been a long time. Either way, I remember liking it when it was going on.
Yeah, it was. I know it was critically acclaimed when it was coming out, and I was not reading it, so I couldn't tell you anything about it, but it looked good.
Yes.
I flipped.
Okay, so Suicide Squad number 9. This is weird because... huge spoiler for the issue is literally in the solicit right here. So
it's not a spoiler. They've been
it's not
about
a spoiler.
Months.
Yeah. He's Deadshot's dead. Like this is the death of Deadshot issue.
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
I've talked every month about how much I love Tom Taylor's Suicide Squad. It's fucking awesome. And, yeah, Deadshot dies. It's fucking crazy. Yeah. It's really good. This is definitely my week's pick. Like, I love this book, and it delivers. Really good.
I haven't read it yet, but man, I have also really, really loved this Suicide Squad run. I've told so many people that I love it, and I don't know. It's tough to get people into Suicide Squad because it has been... it's been iffy for a while, you know. It's
the comic.
Yeah, there've been some high points, but overall, it's been not great. Like,
oh, I could give a shit about any version of Suicide.
Yeah. You should see the
until this literal series came out.
Yeah, you should see the rates of fall off on like the average Suicide Squad. Book, like going back to New 52, it's so much worse than everything else. Everybody's like really hyped for the first three issues, and by the time it gets to issue three, it like it goes from like you know, you're 100% down to like, I don't know, 10% by issue three. It's and that's like consistent. Every fucking Suicide Squad series has been like that.
Just well, I'll tell you, the biggest problem with it is that like there were the only two issues of Suicide Squad that I can remember in the last bunch of years was they did a two issue series. And I can't remember who wrote it, but it was like from the point of view of a character that you know is going to die. It was like this one, like, and it had like just the story of just like, this guy's going to die. He's a loser. He knows he's going to die the whole time. It's like his point of view of just like, I'm fucked. I'm definitely going to die. And of course, like by the end of the two issues, like he does die, but it's like, it was a really compelling read. It was really good. But other than that, I think ultimately the biggest problem with Suicide Squad is like, you have to have people die. Like there has to be stakes to it. And that's one of the things that's been really great about Taylor was that in the first issue of this new run, he just doubled the cast with, characters that were new but that were cool and like you give a shit about whether they die or not, and then when they do on occasion it means something, you know. You know, having Deadshot die, like I wouldn't worry about spoiling it, but it's they've been talking about it for months and months, so it's not like and Tom Taylor specifically has been like on Twitter and stuff for months saying like he's definitely gonna die, like, and you know, like it's not a like a joke. I mean, obviously it's fucking Deadshot, like they're gonna find a way to bring him back at some point, but like, you know, it's a big marketable character, although, you know, you have a movie coming out that looks pretty good on paper, and Deadshot is not in it.
They couldn't afford to rehire the Deadshot from the last movie, so
I mean that's fine.
That might have been the deal. I wonder if Will Smith had like some sort of like contract for multiple appearances, and they were like, well, then we just won't put him in there because he's too expensive.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, maybe it for the movie, but I don't think that they would keep him out of the comic because.
Oh no, no, no! Not the comic. The I mean the movie.
Yeah, maybe the movie. I have no idea, but I think honestly, I watched the like teaser for the next one, and it looks awesome. Like, there's so many garbage fucking characters that are gonna absolutely get wasted in the most enjoyable way possible. Which is like, that's why. You read Suicide Squad when Ostrander and McDonald were doing it, like that classic run. It's like, it did have this feel of like anything goes, but then you also got like real solid characterization. You know, it's the problem is that when you try to work that in a, you know, when you have characters that like Rick Flag or whatever that are popular, and then when you kill them off, eventually they're going to bring them back because like you can't, I guess. I don't know, whatever. Like, just death in comics is just such a, like, how do you parse that? But that said, It doesn't last. But this issue of Suicide Squad was particularly good, and I love Tom Taylor, and he can do no wrong. Like, I'll buy any book that he is writing. Yep. I don't give a shit at this point. Like, it could be Forbish Man, the series.
Ooh,
I'd be like,
I would
sure.
totally do that, too.
I'm on.
I would be totally on board for that.
Yeah.
So Black Magic number 14 is out as well from Image Comics. The series rules. Really enjoyed that series quite a bit.
That's the Greg Rucka one?
That is the Greg Rucka. And
nice.
this is another one that I would like to talk about this week. Dark Knight's Death Metal Speed Metal number 1.
I read it based on your recommendation.
And what did you think?
I liked it.
You didn't have the same overwhelming, like, finally a Flash comic that I enjoy that I had when I read it.
It's hard for me to talk about what I did like without giving away spoilers of what happens in it. My only blasé kind of feelings of it is just like that whole thing that they did where they had Wally West kill a bunch of fucking people. It's just like, have him, if you want to do a redemption arc for Wally West, you have to have him bring those fucking 25 awesome characters that he killed off panel back. Like, you have to do that. Otherwise, there's no redemption. Like,
it will happen because he has the powers of Dr. Manhattan. So,
well, right.
He literally has the power of life and death.
And even before that, like, even in the Heroes in Crisis world continuity, he could have easily, like, you know, there's like so much time travel involved in that.
Yeah,
like,
true.
You know, whatever. And I'm not going to get into my nerd rant of that, but I'm just like, when you get into this, like, it sucks. And this is why I hated Dan Didio, because he would do storylines like this where, like, dumbass, and it's the Mark Miller thing, Civil War, where just like all of a sudden Iron Man's a fucking Nazi. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you have to kind of accept that, like, there is a characterization for Iron Man or Wally West or whatever. And you can't just do these stories where like people arbitrarily just like waste 30 fucking people. Like he killed so many people in Heroes in Crisis that they still haven't even told you who died.
That's true. Oh, that's true.
There was like
yeah.
a Green Lantern dead in the first issue, and they never ever identified who that was, and like all kinds of.
That's
shit,
how
you know?
Important those like, Green Lanterns are to DC right now.
Well, but that's how important the storyline was. You know, it's like the storyline. But then you have this thing where Wally West is constantly being driven by this redemptive arc, and it's like you can't give him a redemptive arc without having him bring Steel back or whoever the fuck it was, Hotspot or Roy Harper or whatever, you know, like you just can't do it. Anyway, that said, this was an enjoyable Flash comic, and I did really like the death metal redesigns of the characters. The art was good. It felt like it had weight to the overall death metal storyline.
And I don't know, Wally's like last minute, last panel flip off to,
it was more of like a metal sign.
It was a metal sign.
Definitely.
It was a good, it was a good quote. I love it. I thought it was killer.
I
was glad to enjoy a Flash comic.
It was one of the reasons I think that you enjoyed it was because there was a very clear throw to the previous, before they brought Barry Allen back, Wally West continuity. And that was kind of refreshing to have someone do a story that actually like was like, yeah, Wally West was the Flash for 30 fucking years and had like all of this crazy shit go down in a series that had consequences. Like when it's just like all of a sudden Barry's the Flash and you're like, oh, so the 30 years worth of comics I read don't matter at all. You kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So having an issue where it feels like it didn't, where it did have weight, it did have, you know, absolutely.
Yep, I agree.
I'm your resident DC guy, sorry.
You are, I know. And that's what I love about you is that you can do that because I can't, because I don't have that. And because I'm the DC guy that's like, ooh, Grant Morrison's writing something at DC. I'll read everything.
Oh my God.
I'm
can I digress for a quick second on please. Grant Morrison? So first of all, the story he wrote in the Batman Detective Comics last week was really great. But I read this really cool take about his Green Lantern run, about how it's like basically like him like giving the finger to everybody. And then like reading it, I went back and like kind of like read some of the stuff that he's writing in this Green Lantern comic with this idea of like Grant Morrison just being like, yeah, like I'm just gonna throw like the wackest fucking shit going, like, and it's crazy good how much better the Green Lantern series becomes when you view it from the idea of it being like Grant Morrison just throwing as many like concepts and just being like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's whatever Grant Morrison is like the best Grant Morrison.
Yeah. And I mean, you feel it. I mean, you definitely do. But that's like, that's kind of how I feel about all of those British comic writers, like the 2000 AD guys. Like, it feels like those guys are all just drunk and they're like throwing darts at concepts. And then they're like, all right, that's going to be great. And then Judge Dredd hires a spider cop. All right, that's going to be great. Spider cop. It's going to be his new partner.
As much as Judge Dredd, the Carl Urban movie, is my favorite superhero film of all time, I have to say, I think the era of Judge Dredd is over. I think Judge Dredd is done as a concept. Like, the world has passed Judge Dredd at this point. Like, the idea, like, I mean, maybe it hasn't, and maybe there's a way to do that, but, like, just with, like, the reality that you see, like, 2020, to me, killed Judge Dredd. That Free Comic Book Day comic was, like, the last Judge Dredd comic I can imagine.
You see, I will respectfully disagree on that front, even as someone who shares your political ideals.
I like it.
I think that Judge Dredd as an icon was never meant to be. Judge Dredd in the beginning was not supposed to be the hero. There were so many takes on Judge Dredd where he's a fascist. He's a piece of shit. Like, he is what's wrong with the world. And I think that can still be the truth. And he is, I mean, obviously ungodly problematic, even in the concept of superherodom or in the concept of sci-fi world where anything else is going on, regardless of our current world and situation. I think that he is not a hero. And I think that take can come back. I mean, the world was so fundamentally flawed in Judge Dredd. I mean, I remember in the Cursed Earth saga, I think it was, that was it Ronald McDonald was president of like of half the world of whatever United Pangea or whatever they called it. Like there was a giant, like, you know, there was a giant fast food controlling the government concept. And it was just this like disgusting capitalism has destroyed everything and the world was idiocracy in this Judge Dredd world. And because of that, it spawned this Judge Dredd, these judges to dispense justice. But that wasn't like, woo, we really did it. That's great. We're doing things right.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah, I think you've turned me around. I think that it is maybe this is the year of Judge Dredd to the year Judge Dredd died. Right. It's the year Judge Dredd became reality.
Well, and I think that's the thing. And I think that as long as you can get some smart people to address that exact issue, you won't lose Judge Dredd forever. And that's what I think. And I also believe that being the, like the person who solved several of these issues, prior, I think just turning a couple of little concepts, just a little tweak, and you can. There was that guy that fixed the Punisher, and I was like, I think that's cool. I think that is the best way to do it. And the guy who fixed Batman on Twitter, I was like, oh, that was cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, yeah, this is definitely a great take on it, because, you know, we are not in the era of gangsters anymore, and it is, the concept has gotten too out of control, and it's spun out of control for its own thing. That said,
yeah,
I've been enjoying Batman as Batman. I just think that the thread is hanging tenuously for a lot of
these characters.
Well, I think
the point of that was just like, that Batman take was more about film Batman than
right.
comic
oh,
Batman.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Like, comic Batman is still a superhero, and so it works. Film Batman is like basically just a cop with no, like,
yep.
that point that guy made, he's a cop with no repercussions. Like,
yep.
you know, it's the ultimate fucking, it's like why the fucking, like, cops put Punisher skulls
Punisher
on their
logos,
fucking. Yeah, but anyway, whatever.
Yes.
You sold it. Welcome to Point Counterpoint.
Yeah, oh my god. Yeah, it's so totally not the place for this, but that's fine.
No, it's fine. Why not?
Hey, exactly. Who gives a shit? But Undiscovered Country, we're like 45 minutes in, is why there really weren't that many books this week. Undiscovered Country, number 8.
The perfect week for it.
Yeah, it was
we
the perfect
extra
week.
Beefy content.
Yeah, this is going to be behind a paywall. If you want to hear us discuss Judge Dredd, you're going to have to pay us 50 cents on Patreon.
Nice.
Yeah,
oh, I gotta say, I did enjoy the extra money in from it being a light week. I got some fancy whiskey this week.
Ooh, that
I was
is
like,
nice.
Hey, I'm gonna get the extra fancy whiskey this week.
How is it? Extra
good.
Fancy?
I got Woodford Reserve.
Ooh my.
Ooh, yeah, it's fancy. Fancy.
So fancy.
Actually, it's still not as good as Bullet, though.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with Bullet.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry.
Yep. Undiscovered Country, number 8. Batman Beyond, number 47, is out. Shazam, number 15. Batman Superman, number 12. We finally get issue 4 of the Spider-Man, written by father and son Abrams team.
And I was waiting for that.
Oh, God. This book... I don't know who decided that we needed sad, depressed family Spider-Man, but I don't like them. This book is not my thing at all.
Spider-Man, the nepotism years.
Yeah. I mean, I get the idea. I get the marketing concept behind it, because this is a father-son story. This is about Benjamin Parker getting his spider powers, but in an alternate universe where Peter Parker got so fucked up in a fight that he lost an arm, I think. And he's all messed up, and he just quit being Spider-Man. And I think Mary Jane died. It's not a cheerful story.
Yeah. All of the fun hallmarks of
All the
in
fun
my alternate
you want for
reality Spider-Man comic, he joined the Fantastic Four. Well, in mine, he lost an arm and his wife died and someone stabbed him with a fucking
Seriously.
Hot poker.
There's an alternate world where there's a pig that makes jokes and swings around on spider webs, and you chose to do the dead Mary Jane sad dad story. Fuck you.
Yeah, I don't
there's
get
a,
it.
There's a punk rock Spider-Man out there that nobody's yeah. writing a story about. Hobie Parker is sitting there waiting for you to do an
yeah.
amazing
I,
series
why there
about.
Is not a Spider-Punk comic, I do not know.
It is no the greatest tragedy in the history of comics. But anyway, if you were enjoying this sad take on Spider-Man, it is out. And we have it. Gideon Falls, number 25. Justice
Good
series. Just, yeah. Phenomenal. Damn it. That was video port. every single time that fucking movie with John Travolta came out. And every time someone would ask for it, they'd come up to the, you have Phenomena? Every fucking time. And that went on it seemed interminable, but
Phenomena.
And yes. Also, I'm making video port shirts, by the way.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
You know what I still have? I still have my Cecil B. Demented video port shirt.
Oh, man. I'm making the Mondo and the regular video port deliver shirt. I just talked to Bill like 2 weeks ago, and he's like, cool, I'm going to be in town. I will stop by the store and I'll drop off the files with all of the logo stuff. He's got, I think, files is an air quote. I think he's got the video port logo in a file.
They're on a five inch floppy. Yeah.
I mean, it's video port era, so who knows? They're on like a Tandy tape drive or something. I think he literally has like hard copies. He's got like a whiteboard that has the art like actually on it that I need to scan from him. So I'm really like, I'm looking forward to this. This will be the beginning of the Ghosts of Portland t-shirt series that I'll be doing, getting that Fresh Market pasta shirt going.
Dude, do one for the tree.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh my God. That's so true.
Yeah.
Wow. That was Pat's place, right?
The tree is what used to be it was Sisters after it was right. The tree. And now it's a fucking Chinese restaurant.
You know, I was in line to purchase that building.
Ooh, that is a nice building, dude.
Yeah, that place was actually in our ability to get a loan. Like, I could have gotten a loan for that space.
Yeah.
And, like, I was approved. And I was like, I want to do this. This is where Coast City needs to be. I want my store here, and we can use that catwalk, and we can put an arcade in there. It's going to be amazing. And then the owner was like, yeah, I'm not really going to sell. My wife wants to use it for, I can't remember what he said. It was something incredibly stupid. He was like, she wants to run her catering out of it, so I'm not selling anymore. And then that fell through within like a month, and then it sold to somebody else. And I was like, but you could have talked to me. I was waiting for the building.
It's so weird to walk by there and like, even just like the little bit that I know, cause it was before my era, that it was what it was. But like, I remember I was a fan of Fishbone, and like, that was the place they played in Maine. And I was like, when I saw a tour t-shirt of Fishbone that said Portland, I was like, where did they play in Portland? And that was where, but like Soundgarden played there. Yeah. Like, and it's like, you'd walk by it and it's just this sort of nondescript fucking Chinese restaurant, and it's like, yeah, like Bad Brains fucking played. I mean, that's not the best example because they played a lot
Circle
of
Jerks.
Circle Jerks, sure. Yeah, the tree. Fucking damn. That would be a good one.
So weird. Yeah.
If
so
they even had a logo.
Yeah, I don't even know. But I'm really excited about it. So I'm really looking forward to having video port shirts.
Yeah.
So good news. I wish we could just get video port back, but sad.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. He donated all of the movies to the public library, so it's a little late for that. And they destroyed them within like 3 months.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't even checked to see like what happened with them. Dude, are they all they're gone? Just, probably they're all gone.
Just abused beyond the point of recognition.
Yeah.
So sad. So, but you know what's not? Justice League Dark number 26.
Oh, man. So it was really good. Justice League Dark was really good.
Is this the end? Is that the last issue?
No. I think Justice League Dark is not canceled. I think it's Justice League Odyssey that's canceled.
Really? I thought Dark was canceled too.
No,
because
there's going to be an HBO Max Justice League Dark series. So I think they're keeping it going. So what I would say just really quickly is cool about this is Madame Xanadu is in it, and like they kind of like are doing shit with her. But like, one of the things that I've always wanted, they started this series with that like Man-Bat as the like scientist kind of like guy who's trying to understand magic from a scientific perspective, and then they never really did anything with it, and it has been always kind of frustrating. Like, he's in it. This Ram V is writing it. And it's really good. So you have like the younger version of Dr. Fate from that Dr. Fate series. You have Man-Bat being fucking awesome. You have Swamp Thing being awesome. I actually really liked this issue of Justice League Dark. Phenomenally good.
Cool.
But, you know.
Awesome.
I don't know who's reading it, but I love it.
And yeah, we basically just have a couple of like nothing books really left over. But we've already talked about Venom pretty much, which was really good.
Yeah, Venom was cool.
Venom 28 is great. And it really, it reveals a gigantic plot point at the end.
Yeah.
Like something that they've been teasing out for 20 issues, something like that. A lot of issues. And now it's, oh shit. So pretty cool. Action Comics 1025 is out. Flash 762 is out. Got Aquaman 63 and Batgirl 49. And that wraps it up.
Batgirl 49 was actually really good. I'm glad I took a chance on it. I went back and got the previous issue so that I could get the full storyline. We were talking about before the podcast started, the current artist on Batgirl, it's about to be canceled. Is Robbie Rodriguez, who I really like. He was the original designer of Spider-Gwen. And he draws Commissioner Gordon's mustache in such a way as Commissioner Gordon's mustache might as well be an extra character in this series. But it actually has, there's a plot point in it that I think is possibly a big Gish deal in the Batgirl continuity anyway, and I enjoyed it a fair amount.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, even the tie-ins to Joker War have been good. Weird.
Yeah, this had very little to do with Joker War as far as I could tell, other than it happens during Joker War.
Right.
But that said, it does have a plot point to do with the Gordon family and that kid, the Batgirl's sister, brother, yeah, who's like a serial murderer, and that guy. So
well, the one thing I really like about the Joker War as a whole is just what it has done to Gotham, what it sets up for the world of Gotham. So now you've got basically just a giant demilitarized zone, so now you have vigilantes playing around in a demilitarized zone where a punk rock guy gets a baseball bat with nails in it and just starts murdering clown people. And those scenarios don't work if you have an active society going on in Gotham where it's like people going to get milk and doing whatever. It's like, you can't really have that realistically play out in any way that is going to be even slightly believable in the world of people dressing up like bats.
No.
It's still going to seem weird. So I love that. Because I loved Cataclysm. I like all those times when Batman exists in a demilitarized zone. It's just, it's the place where Batman makes the most sense.
No Man's Land.
Yep. No Man's Land. Also great. All of that. What was the one prior to Cataclysm? The one where everybody got some sort of, there was a pandemic in Gotham and everybody got that one was great too.
You know what one I remembered recently when I was going through some old comics was a previous Joker crossover they did where it was called, I actually can't even remember what the name of the crossover was, but basically Joker thought he was dying, so he made all of the villains into Jokers. So it was like every single DC villain was like a Joker version of that villain, and they all got crazy and did all kind of crazy Joker shit. It was pretty fun, actually.
That's crazy. I mean, it's not that I think the Joker is not an enjoyable character. I think that they're just, he cannot bear the weight of all of DC on his shoulders. That is a house of cards. Because you see, the Joker is a card in a forget it.
It's
anyway.
Joker's wild, man.
Yeah,
that's all I'm
like,
saying.
It's the beginning to that Manor Astro Man song.
I don't know that song.
I don't know. It starts with a sample from one of the old Batman records. you'll see that the Joker is wild.
And
then,
nice.
And then it starts the song.
I remember the time I went to see Manor Astro Man, and it was like Manor Astro Man clone band Alpha or something, and it was just like a bunch of people that were. It was like girls, actually. Like
Vega. Sure. I know who they are.
Gamma.
Was it Gamma? I thought they were Vega for some reason.
Sure, it could be. I don't know. I remember.
The all-female Manor Astro Man were actually one of the standouts. The all-TV-headed Manor Astro Man played one of my friend's basements at one point.
Wow.
It was a basement show, and they had Manor Astro Man, but it was Beta or something, and it was the guys that just wore TVs on their heads.
Okay.
And they were just like, you know, I don't know, we're going to pay you like $35 and a sandwich. You want to show up? Okay. Sure.
Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, the idea of a band franchising itself is pretty cool.
It's genius. It's what Kiss should have done 30 years ago.
Oh my God. Yes.
I have no idea. Guar was supposed to do this. Like, that was like one of the ideas. The idea was that Guar was the band that could never die because you could just keep doing it with new members forever. And just like all it has to do is like you stick to the story that Brocky created, and then you just make a bunch of crazy shit happen, and you do it for the next 1,000 years, and you just continue to offend people into the next 20 millennia. I hope happens. I hope that, you know, 20,000 years from now, there's still a Guar.
You know what I just watched the other day was the Idiot Box Sacrifice Your Daughter to Guar contest.
Oh my, how did you find the Idiot Box?
It's on YouTube.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, the whole shit.
Damn
it. I was looking
Alex Winter is my hero, so I would very much like to watch that.
Yeah, no, it's all on YouTube. It's as whole episodes too. You can't search the individual things because what I was looking for was I made a joke to my wife about my legs being broken, and in my head, every time someone's legs break, it's that scene from Eddie the Flying Gimp from Outer Space where the kid jumps off the roof and he's like, "Ah, my legs!" And it's like cartoonish thing of the kid with his broken legs, and I was like, I wanted to find that clip so that I could show it to Allie, and then I ended up watching like pretty much the entire series, like just some pep pills. Beef sticks. I don't know, like the whole deal.
Oh, and I ended up watching. I'm so excited.
Sacrifice Your Daughter to Guar. Where the daughter's really annoying, so the kid like enters the contest. So she gets like chucked in the meat grinder. It's pretty great. Oh man, that show was ahead of its time.
Alex Winter is a goddamn genius. Goddamn genius, I tell you.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, sweet. Well, that's pretty much it. There's some trades. You know, some stuff. Come in. You can come
into
the store now from 2 to 6. It's exciting.
2 to 6.
Yeah.
Two to six.
Doom Patrol trade. That's Doom out. Patrol I know trade. That. There's a bunch of trades on the top shelf I didn't look at.
The Doom Patrol, the Weight of the Worlds miniseries.
The last series.
Yeah. Some other stuff. Come see it. I'm not going to tell you about it. You have to come in to see it.
Yeah, you're going to come in.
2 to 6, Wednesday to Saturday. And that's going to be it. So thank you guys
so much.
And
of course, you can still order online. And orders above $30 are free shipping.
Are free shipping. CoastCityComics.com. And if you're local, then you can get curbside pickup and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
or you can come in
do
with
those things. Where you can come in with a mask. And that's it. Follow us at Actually Comics on the Instagrams and Coast City Comics for the regular store. And that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
Hopefully my info dump of like posts last week, I did like 6 posts in like 5 minutes. And I don't know if it really was, maybe I should space them out a little bit more.
No way, man. That's the way to do it.
Just do it all at once and make sure it gets done.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, that's good. All right. Well, I will see you next week, Bob. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Take it easy. Goodbye. Thank you.
Chicken Ray.